This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's checking, everybody? It is another edition of the Orange Bloods podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum of orangebloods.com. Thus, it's the Orange Bloods podcast. Coming to you on a Wednesday. Shout out to our title sponsor, the guys over at JFQ Lending. They want to hook you up. They want to be your residential mortgage company. They're licensed in nearly 40 states across the USA. They've got over 3,000 five-star reviews, including better than an 1800 from the Better Business Bureau, A+ rating, all that jazz. You can contact D Rally at jfqlending.com. The bottom line is they'll give you $500 credit for anybody listening to this podcast, as well as cover your appraisal costs. Like, they want to hook it up. Let them hook you up. So this podcast, it's an interesting one. I don't know quite where the hell I'm exactly going to go with it. Like, I've been thinking about it for the last hour or so, and I think there's been like a million thoughts that have gone through my mind. And so what I essentially stopped and said, you're getting lost in the minutia of the details of all of the stuff that's happened over the course of the last few months. And what's the number one thing that I need to get across, that I want to get across in this podcast before I get too far down the road and the minutia of the details? And it was like, okay, well, there's like a movement that's ongoing right now. And it weirdly positions me as in this gigantic game of, I don't even know what the game is. Like, I don't know. Are we playing Clue? It's not quite, it's definitely not Monopoly. It could be Clue. It's like Professor Ketchum in the 40 acres with a candlestick. Like, I don't know. Maybe. But it's a game of some sorts. And it's all of this behind the scenes stuff that I think came to a head in the press conference on Monday with Tom Herman, where, you know, Anwar asks him about questions about his job security and, you know, name checks Urban Meyer specifically. And Tom Herman like grabbed a hold of that question and hugged onto it and talked about it. I mean, he wasn't mad that the question was asked. He gleefully accepted the question and answered the hell out of it. I mean, dude was smiling. And so that goes down. And then there's just like all the think pieces that come out of that. Like, what the hell was that? Like, Tom Herman gave himself a vote of confidence. When does that ever happen? And then, you know, there's this thing that exists where now the athletic director of the University of Texas is the bar is so low for him. Like, he's basically ghosted Tom Herman all year long, all season long. And, you know, the behavior has been acknowledged. You know, I think the only time I ever really called out Del Conte was the night where Texas beats Oklahoma State and Osai has this game for the ages. And Del Conte didn't even tell the team, hey, guys, safe travels back home. It's just, he's ghosted the team publicly to that extent. And I was like, okay, come on now. Because there's this thing that's going on between Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte, unless you listen to Tom Herman on Monday. It's an interesting point to make. If you listen to Tom Herman on Monday and you think that guy told the truth about everything, there was nothing funny going on about any of those remarks, all straight-laced, 100% truth, then he and Chris Del Conte have a great relationship. And it will make everything that I'm about to say in the podcast that follows drivel, or dribble, as someone said on Orange Bloods this week. How do I cancel this dribble? So FYI, if Herman's right and Del Conte has his back, like they are Laverne and Shirley close. They are, I don't know why I went with Laverne and Shirley first. What an obscure partnership to go with. Oh, if they are Laverne and Shirley close, and trust me, if you don't know that late 70s, early 80s TV show reference, that's close. Those girls lived in an apartment together. I think they may have grown up together. They worked in a beer factory. They were close. They dated together. They're close. Thick as thieves. Oh, this is going to be a podcast to remember. I'm already doing Laverne and Shirley bits. Like I said, if you believe that, then everything that I'm about to say is just going to be like noise. But if you want to listen to someone who's inside this weird thing that's going on, just talk about the thing. See, that's the thing that makes me different than a lot of other people in this industry. And I was thinking about this morning. For a long time, there's a lot of competitors that I have competed against for decades now. But personally, it feels like lately some of these guys have gotten bold and trolling me in my Twitter mentions. And then today, Bobby Burton, who, look, I owe a lot of my career to, being completely honest, like Bobby Burton pulled me into the world of Rivals.com along with Jim Heckman. No, I've worked my butt off and complicated what he was trying to do with Rivals.com enough that he wanted me to join instead of giving away free information on the internet channel that I was running at the time, KI42. That's a long, long time ago. Bobby Burton and I, though, we were once really close. And then stuff happens. And stuff happened between Bobby and I. And it's not that big of a deal. Stuff happens between people. And the stuff that happened between he and I, that was a long time ago. In fact, he and I have been running competing websites for a long time. And like, we're competitors, but it's like, it's no big deal. Like, he and I don't really cross paths a whole lot. Every once in a while, someone makes a reference. Every once in a while, we'll butt heads weirdly, but like, not a whole lot, you know. I'm not really down with Bobby. Bobby's not really down with me, but big deal. So what? But today, Bobby joined another competing website. So like TOS is everywhere just swapping people, which is not unique in the history of time. They've all worked for each other at one point or another, or at Orange Bloods or whatever. And unless I have this wrong, he makes like an initial post. And inside that post is like a reference to like me and my work and my perspective, I guess, and like my alliances. And my first reaction was like, well, that's like I thought we had already addressed this. The suggestion is that there's a piece that I wrote about at the time was the ongoing in Eyes of Texas crisis. That had some harsh criticism pointed towards Chris Del Conte. It didn't suggest that the only piece of blame to go around anywhere was just at Chris Del Conte, because this is a nuanced world. And I know people think I use that word a lot. Fuck you. I don't care. Things are nuanced. It's not always black and white, cut and dry. Herman owns this Eyes of Texas thing big time. Chris Del Conte owns this thing big time. I would point to what I would describe as, you know, the motives behind my sourcing was really to protect Jay Hartzell. And we will get to all of this minutia stuff in a little bit. But there's this notion, this thing is in the air, that I did a hit piece on Chris Del Conte for Tom Herman, that I'm Tom Herman's, I'm his guy, like, you know, whatever Godfather reference you want to make, I'm the hitman. In my mind, I'm thinking of the fat guy, but I can't remember exactly what his name was, which is sad because I've watched that movie like 9,000 times. But, you know, if in this instance, I'm working for somebody else, I don't get to be Don Corleone. I'm one of the muscle men. And the theory is that Tom Herman is my Don Corleone, and that I carried out a hit piece for him against the athletic director at the University of Texas. Because I am a Tom Herman water carrier. And that is so stupid. It's so, you know what? It is so stupid. It literally has no traction on Orange Bloods. And people on Orange Bloods look for things to get to gain traction against me. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. I don't know if you noticed it. But I am not the most popular guy on my own website. If I dot an I or cross a T in a way that might piss off a faction of people on Orange Bloods, they let me know about it. But what does not exist on Orange Bloods is this thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, Ketch carries that water pail for Tom Herman. It doesn't exist because it literally defies reality. Like nobody, and nobody does on Orange Bloods. Nobody makes the suggestion that I somehow am nice about Tom Herman. That I have not been on the front lines of, it's not working out. This alleged water carrier. I predicted 7-3 before the season started, and all of you act like I was a fucking traitor. Oh, you catch. Because I didn't believe. You guys, most of you listening, were believers. I said 7-3 before the season, and you guys were like, tell me the games. And I was like, well, I don't know that I can name the games. I mean, Herman has proven he can lose to anybody. But okay, Oklahoma? TCU? I mean, at the time, Oklahoma State was an obvious one. Like, you know, pick a game where they're favored to win and just blow it. Like, I don't know. It didn't feel like rocket science at the time. And everybody was like, oh, I'm the clickbait monster. because I said 7-3. I like Charlie Strong before him. And it's weird. There was a time when there was a weird alleged, I'm carrying Charlie. This has happened now two coaches in a row. this idea that there were allegations from other websites, and I guess my detractors, that I was a Charlie Strong water carrier. That I carried his water. A guy who I questioned his ability to count in his second game as coach at Texas. The thing about these allegations is I got receipts. You call me whatever you want to call me. I can show you receipts of things I have written, things that I have said. I like to think that part of my allure, hate me, love me, whatever, is I have never positioned myself to be anybody's water carrier. Ever. Ever. Mac Brown, early in my tenure at orangebloods.com, it would have been, God, 2004, 2005. Probably 2005. It was around the time of the George, who was it? What player was it? It was the Shipley injury, so it might have been 2004. Anyway, I reported some injury shit about the team, and my method of acquiring said information was that I went through George Walker, and there had been a panic. Is this what I do? I give you names. I'm unorthodox. And when I finish this podcast and I dare someone to defy anything that I say in this podcast, I mean, just, I have receipts. I will tell you, I don't keep shit from you guys. That's not what I do. That's why, again, even those people that hate me usually know I shoot straight with them. That's what you get from me. God help me if I ever am not that person. Because all I ultimately have ever aspired to be, I may be wrong a lot, and I am. Texas may not go 7-3. They may go 8-2. I may be sitting here telling you, I told you 7-3. They may not go 7-3. May not. I get it wrong. It happens. I say a lot of stuff. It's hard to say a lot of stuff and not end up wrong. And people think that I have a hard time admitting that I'm wrong. They're right. But I do. I'll find a point to the death. We know this about me. But this allegation that I am Tom Herman's guy is a weird one for me. It just is. Mainly because I think Tom Herman hates me. Seriously. I'm pretty sure that Tom Herman hates me. That Orange fans thing? Look. Anwar asked the question. Anwar works for Orange Bloods. Herman took a shot at Orange Bloods, and even though Anwar asked the question, nobody thinks that was a shot at Anwar. Anwar has respect. Anwar has, I don't know, like Anwar is Teflon Man, I think, in that situation, because his credentials are impeccable, right? But like, I am the internet guy. And Herman says Orange fans, it's a shot across the bow. He starts talking about the fact that he doesn't keep track of 50-year-old men's tweets. I do that. That's who he's talking to. Like, Tom Herman does not like me. He's not in my fan club. He does not pay dues to the Jeff Ketchum fan club. That is a very lonely place. But it has some members, a few. He's not in it. And it should be obvious. Because it's, you know, if you've written the things that I've written about Tom Herman, which does nothing more than outline his failures during his time. Like I said, like, nobody on Orange Bloods is trying to make the case that I personally am some sort of water carrier for Tom Herman. And yet it exists in the air. It is, don't want to get political, but it is like a conspiracy theory, right? So, and I had heard it, like, So it started Inside Texas. Inside Texas got a few of their homies, guys on their staff. Honestly, I can't even remember their names. And I don't want to put the wrong ones on blast, because they do have some good people working over there. So I won't specifically name names, but some guys from Inside Texas like pop up into my Twitter feed. They're like hitting up with like Turtle Tom and stuff. And I didn't quite get it at first, because I wasn't really on their website. So if they'd been saying it up until that point, I just hadn't seen it. But then I realized, like, we were in this little back and forth. I was like, wait a minute. they're making some Turtle Tom reference, and they think I support Herman. I was like, is that what you guys are alleging? And it was. And I was like, that's wild. Okay. Weird place to take it, but okay. And I just assumed, like, okay, well, that's like the rhetoric that's apparently going down over there. But like, ain't nobody on Orange Blood saying that. So like, I'm not tripping. Like, I seriously have not concerned myself a lot with it. And I really still don't. Like, I'm talking about it today because something happened today. So Bobby Burton goes over to Inside Texas today. Congratulations to both parties. Right on. Competitors stay competitors. May the battle continue. But in Burton's comments that someone sent me, it goes on to outline, I'll read it. So it says, to say those, what's more, Herman had almost no one come into his defense except for a website that routinely serves as his mouthpiece. Doing so in an article that erroneously tried to lay the blame of the eyes of Texas fiasco on Chris Del Conte's feet instead of Herman's own, where it rightfully belonged. The website's insinuation that it was Del Conte's miscommunication about the importance of the eyes of Texas was rebuked by multiple other Texas coaches who went on the record to dispute anonymous sourcing supporting Herman's version of events and the expectations of the eyes given to them by the athletic director. The initial article was a shot by Herman across the bow of Del Conte trying to deflect the blame to the AD, but Del Conte shot back and similarly sunk Herman's narrative. Okay, so like that's weirdly specific. And I don't often think that when people do things like this that they think that I will directly respond, which is always, I hope, will forever be one of my strengths, is that I'm unpredictable. So congratulations, Bobby Burton, you're at Inside Texas, and you called me out in your welcome post to the website. Oh, weird, weirdo, obsessed much. The old statement of some people report the news and other people talk about those that report the news has never been more true ever than in this instance. But again, guys, congratulations. I will say this. Let me specifically address each of those points, because then I want to come back down to the important thing that's in play here, which is not really Bobby's specific call out of clearly me. Like, let's it's me and it's Orange Bloods that he's referencing. And like, I want to acknowledge that elephant in the room. Like, I ain't scared. So he says, what's more, Herman had almost no one coming to his defense except for a website that routinely serves as his mouthpiece. It's an important distinction that needs to be made here. Orangebloods.com is a well-sourced site that is the best in the market by a mile at reporting on the football program. I'll give an example. Chip Brown was asking Monday in the Monday press conference about who's going to be the holder on field goal attempts, and Anwar Richardson correctly reported that days ago, and it turned out to be later in the week confirmed. It's the transfer from Oklahoma, whose name I still won't remember, but Anwar had it first. I read about it. Like, Anwar gets shit right. He is the best Texas beat reporter on the planet right now. Everybody else is just a chump. Okay. For real. And nobody could possibly dispute that. So what do they do? Oh, he's a mouthpiece, blah, blah, blah. No, like, he's good at his job and he gets correct information. Now, mouthpiece, we're a Herman mouthpiece. Again, I've got receipts. Literally nobody on Orange Bloods is suggesting that of us on Orange Bloods, because I've got a paper trail of article after article after article. I'm the guy that in a podcast earlier in the summer caught the ire of a lot of people when I suggested that the possibility of Herman pulling off the Houdini act of getting Brockermeyer and getting momentum at the beginning of the season and beating LSU and doing all of the things that would be required to save the 2021 recruiting class. I said that that was the equivalent of Luke, the math involved of Luke blowing up the Death Star, and people got mad at me. I want you guys to remember these things happening. Because when somebody says something like, well, you know about Orange Bloods, they're just the mouthpiece. I mean, we can't let this be like, we can't let this be the type of fake news, right? Right? Can't let it be the kind of fake news that because you hear it so often, you forget the reality of things. Orange Bloods is a mouthpiece of Tom Herman. I've literally called Tom Herman a failure every step of the way. I've been so lukewarm on Tom Herman from the very beginning that I probably make Onward Richardson's job uniquely difficult in the process. But Onward, nobody would call Onward anybody's water boy. Say it to his face. Anybody saying that? Nobody has the balls to call out Onward. They speak about his work. They speak about it in vague Orange Bloods terms. It's kind of chicken shit if we're going to be completely honest about it. Like, we do what we do. And there may be a lot of things that we get accused of. People hate me. Okay? I've got posters on Orange Bloods who like me that can't publicly come out and say they like me without catching shit from posters on Orange Bloods who hate me. There's a lot of reasons why people on Orange Bloods hate me. They don't hate me because they think I carry water for Tom Herman. Okay, so now, and then just to be clear, the website's insinuation that it was Del Conte's miscommunication about the importance of the eyes that was rebuked by multiple other Texas coaches. Dispute anonymous sources supporting Herman's versions of events and the expectations that the eyes given to them by the eyes of Texas. Let's be clear here. The insinuation wasn't that the responsibility of the eyes of Texas was all on Chris Del Conte's feet. Now, that particular article outlined the reasons why Chris Del Conte did own some responsibility. But Tom Herman also owns responsibility for that. Like, there is a chain of people. Everybody. Again, I've got receipts. Go back and look at things that I was saying leading up to that. Everybody. I called out everybody. I don't like anybody in this story. Anybody. I think everybody has failed, including Chris Del Conte. But I also think that Tom Herman has areas where he has failed. He's failed as a football coach up until now. Although winning a Big 12 championship at the end of the season, strangely, makes him a weird success. Like, we need to say that as well. That'd be one hell of a Houdini act. Dustin McComas and I are still trying to figure out the last head coach that has been fired after winning a conference championship. It would be, in a weird way, one heck of a middle finger to everybody. Because I can't find anybody that thinks Tom Herman is sticking around when this season is over. And except that whole conference championship thing. But what I really want to like dig into here, I know it sounds like I called out Bobby and I called out Inside Texas, and I did. But like, they needed to. They called me out. Let me make sure. I don't want to make it look like I left anything out real quick. It's weird that they think that supports Herman's version of events. I don't know where that comes from. Like, one of the things that has not happened clearly is that Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte have not answered questions between them transparently. They just haven't. That's part of why we're here where we are. And I would go on to say that, you know, one of the things that's important is that there's a real lack of clarity about what happened between, let's say, any point in August all the way through the beginning of October. You know, even the Texas coaches that went on the record spoke in a way that requires some follow-up questions. And those follow-up questions need to be asked of Tom Herman. Bobby Burton worked at 24/7. Chip Brown wrote the article about the three coaches that went on the record. The next time that Chip Brown had access to Tom Herman in a press conference form, he did not ask about that. And Bob, that's Bobby Burton's place of business. That's where Bobby just was. So one of his reporters wrote about the article that he's referencing, the one about the three coaches go on the record, which there's some follow-up questions. Again, we'll get to the meat of all this in a second. But that was Bobby's shop. Bobby Burton just came from 24/7. That report came from 24/7 while Bobby was at 24/7. At no point has Chip ever gone back at Tom Herman and said, yo, I quoted three coaches that went against you and said opposite of you. Like, can you comment on that? That just never happened. It never happened. The Eyes of Texas story, other than us, got put kibosh. Go back and look at the reporters in this market that just stopped reporting on it. I got called out. Again, we'll get to some of this in a second. But, like, all I'm saying is critically think this one out if you find yourself on the side of of who was saying what, when, and where. Seriously. But what's really interesting that is going on right now is there's a thought in the athletic department. And now this doesn't matter that I've made enough comments about who's called me out and the irony of them calling me out. Okay. But what does exist right now is this weird behind the scenes narrative where the people in the athletic department, Chris Del Conte office specifically, they do believe, from what I've heard, now, I've had this confirmed to me through my own personal sourcing, that Chris Del Conte believes that. That he believes that it's kind of narcissistic, which, hey, I'm down with. I got my own levels of narcissism going down. Like, you know, sometimes you can see it because you're it, right? But instead of looking at all of that and thinking, oh, you know, when did we have meetings in September leading up? What about prior to the season opener? Like, when did the clear lines of communication, which three coaches confirmed, like, when did that begin? Like, how did that happen? If, you know, it's the code red thing. If you had issued statements before that initial meeting, as the three coaches that went on the record suggested that you had, why would there be a need for a meeting in the first place? Because if you'd been clear, and when you put out a memo, everything's clear, why would you need to gather all the head coaches together, summon them together, and tell them about your expectations? Why? Why is Chris Del Conte not taken a single question from a media member all year long on any of this. If the truth will set you free, if that's what's going down, if the truth comes out and it will set everybody free, then come on, truth. Come on. Let's hear some truth. Christo Conti, come on out. If we've reported on this thing all wrong, because I will say this, when we reported what we reported back in October, nobody from the athletic department called me. The day before, this is how transparent I get. This is what you get from me. And ask yourself if you get these receipts from people who throw out conspiracy theories. The Tuesday before my Wednesday article came out and that reported on Del Conte's role in this mess, not that he's the only one. And I've said from the very beginning, you want to know about the motives from that source? Full transparency, it's people who wanted to protect Hartzell. Transparency. I wasn't talking to football sourcing on this. And Tom Herman has never spoke about this on the record for us to say this is a Tom Herman narrative. When Bobby alleges that this supports Herman's version of events, how the hell do we know that? Tom Herman hasn't spoken about this in any level that would allow us to say that with certainty. That's not how I viewed our reporting. Because Tom Herman kind of pussyfooted around this situation big time. Big time. He didn't communicate to his players appropriately, certainly coming out of that TCU game, which led to the Oklahoma situation. Now, if you ask me, nobody really asked me, but I'll tell you anyway. I think there's some reason to believe that Herman heard that messaging from Del Conte before the OU game and thought, well, I'm not losing. I'm not losing my team. I tell my team that. This is just one of my working theories. Could be completely wrong. This may be one of the things I'm most wrong about, but it's a theory. Because you wonder, how the hell did the Oklahoma thing happen? How? And how could we get this deep into the season with that happening if Chris Del Conte had been so clear all those weeks before? I mean, that's part of what I wrote detailed, was that we get here because there hadn't been clarity from the moment that meeting on, I think, the 13th of July took place up until October. That's what the article pointed out. None of that's not factual. The only thing factual that I got wrong in all of that reporting back in October was when Del Conte finally met with the football team. We initially reported that Hartzell was in the meeting. None of the other details about what was said in the meeting, implied in the meeting, what was to come out of the meeting, none of that stuff was incorrect. But we got one of the people in the meeting wrong. At which point, someone either in the athletic department or the president's office contacted a local reporter and had that local reporter correct that detail immediately. At which point we started checking with other sources and they were like, oh, he wasn't there. Oh, I was really pissed off about it. Anwar was like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. And in the end, he was right. But I was pissed off about it because I knew that, you know, people like to nitpick me. And that was of all, nobody nitpicked me about the article that Bobby's referencing, that hit piece that Herman ordered me to write, right? Nobody corrected that. Nobody contacted a reporter and had that corrected. But the detail about Hartzell being in that meeting that took place, that was incorrect. We reported that incorrectly. We then corrected our reporting immediately. And it's true. We got one of the names wrong of people in the room. But nothing else was corrected. Just full transparency. Like, if we're going to have the conversation, let's have the conversation. When we make mistakes, it gets noted. All this shit that's been alleged, nobody stepped out. If Chris Del Conte wants to correct any of that for the record, call me back. Because as I was saying, the Tuesday before all of that ran, I tweeted something about Del Conte. I'd have to go back and look at what it was. Honestly, I don't even remember. It was Eyes of Texas related. He called me 5 minutes later. I was in the middle of recording something. I kicked it to voicemail. He, I believe, left me a message. I called him back. He has a lovely voicemail. At least he did. I believe, like, his kid's on it. And then we play, like, I sent him a text message. He sent me a text message. And then he never called me back. And that happened. And then during all that time, I'm getting information that I sure could have used a comment from him about. He never called me back in any of this stuff. Not to dog cuss me, not to challenge any of my facts. Nada. And I'm here. He's got my number. He has called me and texted me before. But there's a weird thing. And I think what we learned immediately, what was interesting about what transpired immediately after that was then our competing websites started putting out stories, and they were weirdly defensive of, like, you know, no, Chris Del Conte is completely innocent, and here's three coaches on the record saying that he is. And it was like, well, but we got all kinds of questions. There's all kinds of blame to share. Let's all ask questions about it. Like, that's where I'm at. If you think Tom Herman wants to do that, I'm guessing he doesn't. And, you know, I would love Chris Del Conte to take open questions. And I'd love to know, you know, this is where I got to be careful about what I say. I would just say, if you paid close attention, those that protest too much, I think, revealed their own allegiances. I think if you're writing things and saying things right now about how there's divisions in the athletic department and one is being like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. But there's this weird idea that Tom Herman put us up to it. It's just not true. In putting that story together, I had enough sourcing. I didn't need to go to football and ask any. One of the funniest things to come out of that was that I spoke the next day to one of my sources. And I said, what'd you think? And he thought I was too hard. He thought I went in too hard on Del Conte. And I was like, you are quoted in the article. I don't think everybody realized, like, once it was put down into form, the things that people were talking about, we lay them all out there. It's like, oh, that looks bad, doesn't it? Ooh. Full transparency. Like, one of my best sources. The next day thought I, oh man, that was hardcore. I was like, well, no, it wasn't. It's what you told me. It's what you told me. It's what all of you told me. You're quoted. You're in the article. And, you know, there's a weird political thing that's happening right now. And I don't know how it plays out in the future. I mean, full transparency, it's bananas. You have part of this divide. And I guess the question I would ask, does it make a difference? There's this divide that would seem to be confirmed, not by Tom Herman's words, but by the words of other people reporting in this market, that the athletic director believes that I personally wrote a hit piece at behest of the head football coach at Texas, a guy that I have just killed for years. Shit, I'm the red flags guy. It's just weird how people forget. Like, I'm historically the outsider. And then when these coaches get into their last dying months, catches a stand for the head coach. Okay, whatever. You're right. I was Charlie Strong's biggest cheerleader, and now I am Tom Herman's biggest cheerleader. And who would need enemies if your biggest cheerleaders were me? But nevertheless, Chris Del Conte believes behind the scenes that Tom Herman tried to blame him and used us to do it. Use me. If I could put my hand on a Bible and say, Chris, hand on a Bible, didn't happen. Does that change anything? What does that change? Let's play the pretend game where we live in a world where I'm just someone that nobody likes, and I will write things that are truthful about anybody. Write them about Herman, write them about anybody. Let's assume it's a me thing instead of a Herman thing. Because that shouldn't be difficult for anybody listening to this podcast. It's a me thing. And Herman didn't put it up to me. I just like to watch shit burn. I watch it burn because I report the truth. You can say, well, it's your version of the truth. Ain't nobody come out and dispute one damn thing. So I get to call it the truth until Chris Del Conte has a press conference where he goes on the record and says, no, let me specifically outline the detailing of the things that were incorrect. Cool. Can I detail all the things that were correct? Because I bet my list is longer. Like, that game hadn't taken place yet. Okay? But if we just live in a world where I'm the anarchist, I'm just the fire starter, what would it change? Presumably, what it would change is that Del Conte wouldn't personally be mad at Tom Herman. But what does that mean? Where we are right now has nothing to do with the eyes of Texas anymore. It doesn't. Where we are is that we've got a program at a crossroads where, specifically in recruiting, things have been stagnant enough long enough that now that job security stuff is coming up, it's really problematic. And Tom Herman has very few friends. I asked a source this week, who's Tom? Who's Tom's? I know who doesn't like Tom. Who has Tom's back? You know what he told me? Well, not too many people. Right? Like a joke, right? Like, there are not many left. And I was like, well, yeah, no, I know that. There's not many left. But who's left? I tried to ask, give me a name, right? Because if we think back to even Charlie had some, you could name Charlie's support. With Mac, it was even easier. You could name Mac's support. I can't name Herman's support. And I'm asking somebody that would know the answer of that question, And I'm getting no specific answer. Like, I tried, like, okay, well, I know, but like, who specifically would have his back? Oh, I don't know. Tom Herman doesn't have many friends. I'm weirdly his last friend. I'm sorry. Because again, he hates me. He really does. Like, I don't know that we would fight if he, I feel like if Tom Herman and I bumped into each other at beer 30 on a Friday, I have a feeling he would like to contest some things that he's disagreed with that I've written about, talked about. And I think there's probably like four seasons worth of beefs of things that he'd like to talk to me about that, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know what his bedside manner would be in that situation. I weirdly have more respect for Tom Herman than I think he does for me. And I don't know that I have a mad amount of respect, but I see how the sausage is made. And I feel like I know the areas where Tom has succeeded in that, you know, deserve special consideration. And then I, you know, have had no problem pointing at deficiencies. For example, this thing that's happened recently where, oh, well, we were in the middle of a pandemic and we had to replace seven coaches. Well, no, you had to replace seven coaches because the decisions that you could have made in previous seasons weren't made. And then you had to fire seven all at once. And then you had to program rebuild in year four that just happened to coincide with a pandemic and made life, like, admittedly sucky, but like, that's your fault, right? I mean, I don't know the narratives that get built, but they exist. That's the point of all of this. The point is we literally live in a moment right now where there's strife. Unless you listen to Tom, there's strife based on things that have been reported, but it's not specifically the things that have been reported. The strife is over who would have done it. And it's weirdly caused problems that I guess Chris Del Conte doesn't know me well enough to know that, like, I will strike a match if a match is nearby. And again, when I say strike a match, that is a metaphor for let's tell the whole story. And it is impossible to have the Eyes of Texas conversation and not have Chris Del Conte own some accountability. The buck stops with him. And, oh, by the way, Tom Herman can own a whole plate of that himself. And he's got tons of things that he also has to own. So, I don't know. If y'all want to get together and have a press conference and talk about all this, I'm game. I will moderate. We'll debate it. I'll be on the debate. I mean, any place, any time kind of stuff. Just let me know what the rules are. And I'll play by anybody's rules. But by playing by anybody's rules, you have to know that I don't play by rules. Whatever you think I'm going to say or do, I usually will just blow that up and do something else. And this weird call out of me means that I've done this podcast today to address all of my detractors, to call it all out and point the finger at you, man. If you are saying silly things because you got nothing else, because after all these years, you've got nothing else, then say silly things. And if you are supposed to be a grown-up in all of this and you are a decision maker, and you can't see this thing from 30,000 feet up, then again, that's a you problem more than that. I'm the problem. Stop waiting till October to do the thing you should have done in August. And then you won't have to worry about like who's writing stories about you, where it's coming from. because the truth would be on your side at that point, and let people write about the truth all they want to. Anyway, I'm done, I think. Can't think of anything else to say other than these are interesting times that we live in. And if you want to point the finger at me about something, just get the right, like, blame me for the right things. That's all I'm saying. Blame me for the right things. Don't blame me for things I have no. Get my reporting correct. Don't try to attach me to the guy that's about to get fired just because, even though it defeats all use of brain cells, it would be the convenient thing for you to be able to pitch to someone. Child, please. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the modcast. Later.